It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breads on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000. 938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Raise the prices yesterday at the grocery store. Reckless man hanging out front, always gets ignored. Can we ever solve these problems in our changing world? Will our children ever get to play out in the yard? There's a new cat.
We're back at the races, just a little past the top of the hour, and happy to welcome back Bill Gallo, the National Steeplechase Association, and the first really big Grade 1 of the year takes place Saturday, one of the most treasured venues in steeplechase racing. Percy Warner, the Iroquois Steeplechase on Saturday. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Very good. And I checked in with one of the NSA stewards this morning. I heard from Woodbury. Woody Payne called me, and Wood would have taken down maximum security. We got the official word from Woody.
Well, he's one of our senior stewards, and I certainly respect him and agree with that.
That's your call, too?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. All right, we're good. This is I feel secure in my opinion because I got Steve Crist and Andy Beyer on my side, so I'm gonna.
well, Bill Mader is opposed, so I keep reading his posts, and he emphasizes the international aspect, and I certainly understand that, but the Derby is run in America and under American standards, so. I'm going to stick with the Americans category too.
I love it. I love it. I Well, you know, and there's been what was it last fall, right? At Far Hills, we had those three horses kind of come together at the wire. Was there? I can't remember if there was an inquiry. Was there an inquiry in that? There was
an inquiry. Yes.
That's what I thought.
There was no disqualification, but
right.
There was an inquiry. All right, how about that? Our stewards posted an inquiry. But anyway, we train them. We do continuing education with our stewards, and Woodbury is one of those esteemed group, a small group, but it's a good group of stewards, and that's the way we train them. If it affects the outcome and causes a horse a placing, so clearly I'm not surprised that he'd have that position.
Well, we've got really the first, not that there hasn't been some good racing already, but the Iroquois kind of marks the first of the majors under the way the schedule has evolved with the South Carolina in the beginning of the season, you know, kind of shifting. This is the first Grade One that will really go a long way toward deciding a champion. And Bill, I said to you this morning, Jack Fisher is on as impressive a run as I can recall around the game, around the steeplechase set.
He's absolutely dominating. Chad Brown-like. He's had 13 winners already this season. We just started the season. 40 starters, 13 wins, 6 second, and I'm looking at his stats now, and 5 third, with over 400,000 in earnings. He's on a record-setting pace for sure. The next closest trainer in wins has 4, Kathy Nielsen, Leslie Young, and Jonathan Shepherd. So he's almost cinched the trainer's title already.
Unbelievable.
And we're just early in the spring. And he holds a very, very heavy hand in this. It's critically important race. It's a Grade One, 150,000. It's an unusual race. It's 3 miles. It's our longest hurdle race of the year. And we run it in May. It's historically, that's the distance that they've run. And it's a weight for age. All horses carry 158 pounds, and it's an endurance test for sure. And he holds a very, very heavy hand with 4 of the 6 entries.
Walk them through, and of course, Scorpiancer in here, and PPs are not up yet, surprisingly, at DRF. I mean, it's Thursday. I would have thought that they'd be up by now, but I just looked, and they're not there. So
there's a reason. There's actually, in a few moments, they actually have the post-position draw. We did not draw the races. They actually are drawn out at Percy Warner Park at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. our time. So they're about to do that. But anyway, clearly Fisher has a heavy hand. Scorpiancer is the 217 Eclipse champion. He's the highest rated horse of the group, but he's got this, his other 3 are also pretty formidable. Moscato won the Temple Guafmi earlier in the spring, April 20th, and was very, very impressive. That was his third win in a row. He had been off on a 2-year layoff, but he returned with a vengeance and won that Temple Guafmi nicely. Gibrofaro just won at Charlotte. He won a novice, $100,000 novice race at Charlotte on the 27th of April. And then his fourth horse is a horse called German bred called Jaleo, who raced in Europe, raced in England, and he was 3rd in the Guafmi. So it's going to be very, very hard to beat Fisher here.
Well, and since you just mentioned it, I want to bring up you talk about the European side of things. Do I understand correctly that Gordon Elliott may establish a beachhead in North America?
Gordon is a terrific guy and a terrific trainer, and you know, he has his sights on America, not to come here, but he does a good business. He sends horses here. He's got 3 horses entered on this particular card on Saturday in Nashville, which is interesting. Everything from a maiden to a ratings horse to a novice horse. And it looks like on paper they look like three very nice horses. The novice is a horse called Chief Justice. He's a four-year-old, and he's highly rated over there. And he has a legitimate shot in this $100,000 novice race. And then he's got a horse, a six-year-old called Stushy, who's running in the three-mile overnight handicap ratings race. Once again, his form is good. And then he's got a maiden. That's a horse called maiden's name has escaped me for a moment, but
I got it here. It's
it's Markham.
Markham.
He sells the horses. Ross Bryan, our leading owner, purchased two of those, and then another prominent owner of ours, Irv Naylor, has the other. Naylor has Chief Justice. So Chief Justice, as I understand, is going to go to Cyril Murphy, and the other two, the maiden and the ratings horse, are going to go to Ricky Hendricks, Russ Bryan owned. So, but Gordon is coming. I think he arrives. I think he arrives today in Nashville. I'm looking forward to seeing him. He's bringing over two top riders, Davey Russell and Jack Kennedy. You might remember Jack Kennedy from last fall at Belmont. He rode the Eclipse Champ Van Zabeel to victory in the Lonesome Glory at Belmont Park. They're very, very good riders. So Gordon doesn't just ship over. He ships over to win, and I think he's got three live horses here, three different races.
How about that? Well, and back to the Iroquois, in addition to Fisher's Four, one of which is, when you mentioned Gibralfaro, that, of course, is Sean Clancy's partnership group, River D. The other three are Britton Street. But how about Jonathan Shepherd with the veteran All the Way Jose and Surprising Soul for Hendricks with Ross Garrity.
Know. I mean, All the Way Jose hasn't won since, I think it's 2017. He won the Lonesome Glory in 2017. But he's pretty consistent. He's always knocking on the door. With Shepherd, you never know. The change of rider, they're going to Tom Garner. They've tried several riders on the horse now. Nagel is the last one to win on him, and Nagel has a broken leg. He's out for the spring. But anyway, you can't count Shepherd out. You can't count Ricky Hendricks out with Surprising Soul. If it were a betting race, he'd be a long shot. But you never know. Sean Clancy's horse, Gibralfaro, looked very impressive in that Queen's Cup novice stake. It's a big jump here, though, and now he's in the deep waters. The other three horses, the other three Fisher horses are very formidable. All four of them, actually. It should be interesting. And the race is always an interesting race. Being 3 miles, it's got to have quite a bit of stamina. It's a grueling race. Typically, it's a hot, a good weather forecast, actually. The temperature is going to be hovering around 70, which is kind of cool for this particular meet, with possible showers. So I think it'll be good for the horses, but it's still a very grueling race.
In addition, the $100,000 Marcellus Frost, the champion hurdle, that's the race that you mentioned, Chief Justice, and you got a nice group in there.
Excellent group. Belisarius, he was second to Moscato. Belisarius jumped up into the open company at Middleburg. Gary Barber's horse. Let's hope Mr. Barber has better success here at Iroquois than he did in the Derby. Belisarius is trained by Kate Dalton. They really like the horse. He's very talented, so he drops back into the novice group I have to think if it were a betting race, he'd probably be the betting favorite, unless the betting public went to Gordon Elliott with Chief Justice. But it's a very competitive race. These novice races are the second tier. These are the kind of the champions and the stars of tomorrow. And it's a nice little division of horses we have, and a nice field. It should be an interesting race.
Well, it happens to be a rich day, too. I mean, about $500,000 in purse money. You also got the Margaret Curry Henley for $50,000, fillies and mares. You know, always a division that, you know, we try to do everything you can to have a filly and mare division. And on the list for me, Bill, of getting, and I know when I talk to Clancy, I'm going to try to get Sean on tomorrow. I know he's going to beat me about the head and face about coming to Nashville and why I'm not there.
Oh, you'd love it. It's beautifully presented. It's a wonderful little course. It's in a public park, Percy Warner Park, and it's beautifully maintained by the race director Dwight Hall. They put a lot of money and effort into it. They get a big crowd. It's clearly it's the highlight of our spring. So really looking forward to it. Going out, I'm flying out tomorrow. Enjoy 2 days out there. And then hustle back for the Willowdale races in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, my hometown, on Sunday, Mother's Day. So it's a busy weekend for sure.
Speaking of weekends, we should mention that last week Winterthur was canceled because of the conditions, but they did run the Virginia Gold Cup, and delighted for Leslie Young, Andiamo, who we saw last summer, and Jack Doyle for Bally Bristol. Congratulations to Leslie. I saw some pictures and Patty. Then also the David Semmes Memorial. How about Ricky Hendricks there for Rose Bryan? Optimus Prime, the winner of the two big races last week down at the Plains.
Both horses equally as impressive. You know, one on the Amu, it's the Timber Division, $100,000 Timber race. Those are typically our longer races for our older horses over post and rail fences. It was very impressive, though, and great for Leslie. Optimus Prime winning the Semmes, that was impressive. Optimus Prime at the moment is probably our best horse in training. You may remember him from Saratoga last summer. Hendricks trained, Ross Bryan owned, Ross Garrity ridden, and this horse, if you look at the replays, they're up on our website, he was extremely impressive. His last two races have been phenomenal. And he is heading to Saratoga. Ricky Hendricks told me just yesterday that's the game plan. They're shooting for the Smithwick and the Turf Riders, and hopefully on to, in a perfect world, on to the Lonesome Glory at Belmont. So he's a very, very – he's a beautiful horse. He's got a beautiful stride. It just glides over the turf and glides over the fences. He is a very, very nice horse, and they're very, very excited about his future.
Well, speaking of gliding over fences, I really was disappointed that, you know, we got so into Derby and it just, you know, it overwhelms. I didn't get a chance to reach out to Joe Davies, but the senior senator story has got to be told. You know, there was some of that television coverage last year, but he did it again and retired another trophy.
Oh, It's quite a story. Joe Davies does a terrific job with the horse, Senior Saturday. It's his third Maryland Hunt. It's hard enough to win one. He won three, and I think he won in 16 and last year and this year. Yeah, so he retired a trophy. He's a remarkable horse. He's a finicky kind of a horse. Very, very, very tough to train, very tough to ride. Eric Perez, his regular rider, rode him. But you know what an accomplishment for Joe Davies. It's another $100,000 timber race in the heart of Maryland, in the heart of steeplechase country. It's got a tremendous history, that race, and it's our longest race at 4 miles, and it was a remarkable effort.
Bill, do you know, out of curiosity, and I could do some researching of this, where does the retiring of trophies originate? Is it a horse racing? Does it go back in racing specifically, the winning of three editions of a race to retire a trophy?
I think it's particular to the individual race meet itself. I think it's written into the conditions. In most cases, I think I'm almost certain it was written into the conditions of the Maryland Hunt Cup that way. I don't know what other races are like that. There are clearly others, but yeah, winning a race three times, it sounds appropriate to me.
I'm gonna search the origins of retiring a trophy. It's got to go back in history, guaranteed. It's got to, and it wouldn't surprise that, you know, given how much influence horse racing has on so many other areas, lexicon and more, I imagine that it originated there. Well, the spring season got a couple of more weeks before a little bit of a break, and then we turn to the racetracks, and that includes Monmouth and Saratoga, of course. Later in the summer, I think another Suffolk stop?
No, we're actually going to Parks for a
nice
little mile and a half turf tune-up for jumpers only on Monday, July 1st. So that's an important actually prep. We normally split that race, but we're shifting from Suffolk back to Parks this year. So happy
that's
about
excellent.
That. But Monmouth, Parks, and then of course the extended meet at Saratoga. We've got three more races up at Saratoga, giving us 9 races up there, and then 10 races at Colonial. We've got 2 races every Saturday of their meet. We're going to be the first and the third race every Saturday. So we're really looking forward to that. We've got a tremendous amount of opportunity showcased all over the place between Virginia and Saratoga. And so we're real happy about it. I hope we have enough horsepower. But our owners and trainers are excited about the opportunity. There's clearly our owners are going out and purchasing horses, many of those coming from Europe. So these are good times for us right now. There's a good vibe out there right now about people chasing and the activity we're having on our circuit.
Well, for those that want to follow the National Steeplechase Association calendar and the events, you got links to all the various locales, all the meets, nationalsteeplechase.com, and Go Jump Racing on Twitter. And, Bill, enjoy the weekend, both in Tennessee and then back home in the Philadelphia area. And we'll talk soon, and we'll see you no later, I suppose, than... I'm going to see you at Pimlico, no?
No, I will not be at the Preakness.
All right.
I will be at Radnor, Pennsylvania.
At Radnor, okay. So over to Radnor. All right, more Pennsylvania then. And then I'll see you, what else? Where else am I going to see you before Saratoga?
Probably going to see you in Saratoga unless you shoot
That's
down
it,
to Monmouth.
Huh? All right. Well, there's always a chance of that, actually.
Depending on the
calendar. When is the Monmouth action?
The Monmouth is Friday, June 21, looks like. Friday, June 21, yes.
Okay. All right, well.
Should be fun.
You're not going to see me because our son, Zachary, gets married the next day. So we'll be in Central New York.
To see you then.
We'll be in Casanova
for Zach and Saratoga, but I hope I talk to you between now and then.
Oh, without fail, no, of course. I mean, and we'll talk to some successful connections from out of Iroquois on Saturday. Well, Bill Gallo, always a pleasure, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Steve.
Always great. Bill Gallo, folks, and the Iroquois this week. And if I talk to Sean Clancy tomorrow, Sean will probably be on his way or be there. And because last year he said, why aren't you here? Let's take a break and want to get Tony Black in for a quick hit. You know, Tony obviously was with us on Monday, and we let him and Rich Migliori talk about the riding perspective on what was happening in Derby. And we'll get a little bit more from Tony, see what else he's seen and heard and who he's talked to, and get some more reaction before we're joined by Steve Haskin. And then later, Nick Cassato, Slam Dunk Racing, a long-anticipated visit from Nick. Back after this at the races.